We now take you to Kleinhans Music Hall for our special broadcast tonight.
Thank you, Jim Balin. Good evening. This is Ed Barron with Henry Tenenbaum at Kleinhans Music Hall for the address by Dr. Martin Luther King.
That's the start of a broadcast from WBFO back in 1967. It was one of the last major speeches Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. made before his assassination on April 4th, 1968. And the theme was the future of integration.
We still have a long, long way to go before racial justice is a reality in our nation.
Ruth Bryant was at Kleinhans Music Hall that night. She's a retired assistant dean at UB School of Architecture and Planning. We met at a local cafe on Buffalo's west side to chat about the experience.
I know where I was sitting at Kleinhans because I was stage left. He was so impressive, but this quiet giant, and you knew this was greatness that you were experiencing.
George Arthur was also there. At the time, he was the 5th Ward Supervisor. Later, he served on the City Council. I met Arthur at the Nash House Museum. It's a historic site for the local civil rights movement.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Oh, good.
Nice to meet you.
Long?
Angelica.
Yeah, pleasure. Nice meeting you, Angelica.
Nice to meet you.
Good. Come right on in.
Thank you. Yeah,
okay.
Arthur and other local leaders met with King in a private room, and he accompanied King to the airport when the speech was over.
Oh, it was a great honor. And the amazing thing is that with all of his awards and all of everything else, he was a down-to-earth person.
Now, about a half century after King's death, both Bryant and Arthur agree that King's dream still is just that, a dream. There are big gaps between blacks and whites on many important issues, from unemployment to school achievement. Incarceration rates is another problem. According to the Pew Research Group, around 1,300 per 100,000 black men were incarcerated in the 1960s. That rate nearly tripled by the mid-2000s.
Is worse.
Warney Reed is director of the Race and Social Policy Research Center, which is located on the Virginia Tech campus. He says at one time it seemed like race relations were starting to go in a positive direction. In early 1968, the Kerner Report warned that America was moving toward two societies, one black and one white, separate and unequal. But then, he says, things seemed to take a turn for the worse after King's death.
They gave a diagnosis of America, but the patient refused to take the medicine. Instead, they began to blame the victim. So, the racism has gone unabated.
Reed said the solution to race relations lies in not trying to change hearts and minds, but policies and practices.
I quote, no less of authority than Martin Luther King Jr. The government can't make my neighbor love me, but we are asking the government to keep my neighbor from killing me.
Bryant says today's movement for racial justice is a good start, but more structure is needed, like when King was leading the way.
And there's not one voice. Like his time, he was the voice, and people rally behind him. It's okay to have different opinions, but they can't be all these leaders. You know, there got to be some followers, too.
Arthur sees signs that the nation, as King said in Buffalo, has a long way to go.
Racism, which has been hidden for a number of years in certain parts of America, is coming up. That's why you see in, like, I think it was Charlottesville and the other, the Ku Klux Klan is no longer afraid.
I asked Arthur whether he thinks it will get worse before it gets better.
Yes, I do. I think it's going to get worse before it gets better. Yeah. And that's sad to say, and I hate to say it, but that's, you know, all of the indications that I see.
But the good thing, he says, is that there are a lot of people who are willing to work toward improving race relations. For WBFO News, this is Angelica Morrison.